Fans of the Jack Benny radio show will instantly recognize the name of Larry Stevens, and we're delighted to be chatting with Larry Stevens this afternoon on our Those Were the Days program.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me on your show. It's kind of exciting. This is the first time I've been to one of these Friends of Radio, and came a long way. Came from Santa Barbara County, but I'm really enjoying it, and I've met so many nice people since I've been here. I've only been here, not even 24 hours, you know.
Well, you got a long time to go. You'll
have
more friends than you know what
well,
you do.
Well, that'll be wonderful. Like, as long as somebody told me one time, as you get older, Larry, make younger friends, because you're going to need them as time goes on. And it's true, you know, make more friends, because as we know, most of the Benny cast, well, all of them are gone.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you had a unique opportunity with your appearances on the Jack Benny show.
Oh, absolutely.
When Dennis Day was drafted.
Yeah, well, he went in the Navy.
He was in the Navy,
yeah. Right. And that's when I auditioned for the show, which was interesting in itself how it happened. I was 20 years old at the time, and the Coconut Grove, they used to have a buy a bond night. And if you went down to the Coconut Grove, Freddie Martin's orchestra was there at that time, and as a matter of fact, I think that's where Merv Griffin used to sing with Freddie Martin. Mm-hmm. And so, I went down there. This friend of mine bought a bond, and you could get up and sing or dance or direct the band, tell jokes, anything you wanted to do if you bought a bond. So anyway, this guy that I was with bought this bond, and they said, okay, we got some kid here who's going to sing Stardust, so, you know. They say, oh, no, not another singer, you know. That's all you hear at those things, people want to sing, which is understandable. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I got up and sang a song called Stardust, and they received it well. And at that night, of course, the place was full, because that's where they went, at the Coconut Grove. And for bond nights, that was a big meeting place. It held a lot of people, you know, a few hundred. So anyway, I sang the song, and there was an agent in the audience who handled the Ritz Brothers and Ethel Merman, and he called me and says, hey, kid, I want you to come to my office tomorrow. I want to talk to you. I says, what about? You know, I didn't know this guy from Adam. Mm-hmm. He said, well, Jack Benny's looking for a singer. Dennis Day's going into service. Well, I didn't even dawn on me, because I was working in a defense line. I'd been in the service, and I was out. And, excuse me. So I went up and signed with him that Monday afternoon. The show was on, Coconut Grove thing was on a Sunday night, so I went and signed with him, and he had me audition for Mary Benny 2 weeks later, and then she said, I want Jack to hear him when he comes back from New York. So I went in there the next couple of weeks, and I sang for Jack, and Jack said to me, hey, kid, can you sing the song a little higher? Because I didn't have a high voice like Dennis had.
Uh-huh.
So I sang in the higher key. He says, no, no, go back to your original voice. So I said, okay, Mr. Benny, you know. Mm-hmm. So I went back that, and I sang the song, which is I'll Be Seeing You. And then he came out of the booth and walked over to me with his hand out and turned to his agent and said, sign him. Well, you know, it was such a thrill, because there was 150 guys auditioning for that show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dick Haymes wanted the show, and Sinatra had his own show at that time. He wanted Sinatra to do the show, too. And Benny had says, you know, maybe I can get Frank Sinatra to do the show, Benny said, you know, to marry. He says, Jack, he already has two shows. Benny said, well, maybe he'll hire me. You know? So, anyway. But of course, Frank was a big star at that time, you know, in 44.
Now, this was 44. Right?
44, 1944, yeah. So my first show was in November of 44.
Now, did they sign you to a long-term contract?
Long-term contract with options every 13 weeks, like
every
everybody else.
Weeks.
Yeah, they had options.
So, and had you expected to just simply replace Dennis from here on out, or did you expect that when Dennis got out of the service?
Well, we knew that Dennis... I didn't think of that at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I was just so thrilled to be on the show like that with all of these stars that I used to... 6 years ago, prior to that, I was 15. I was lying in bed listening to all these, you know, Phil Harrison, Rochester, and of course Dennis at that time, and prior to that was Kenny Baker.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and Mary and Jack, and of course Phil Harris. I mean, I just couldn't, you know, I was in awe. Yes, sir.
I want to get over on those stairs working.
Oh, okay, couldn't we go by?
Thank you. And Jack, where was I? I was a gentleman came through, and I lost my train of thought.
We're talking about you were listening to Jack
on the
radio.
I used to listen to Jack on the radio as a kid, and little did I dream that I'd be on that show 6 years later. And of course, I was in awe for about a year, my mouth hanging open, walking around looking at these Phil and all, you know, mm-hmm. and of course Frank Nelson, who I loved. And he was just a tremendous guy. I would say he was the one I think that Benny really broke up, or rather, he broke up Benny more than anybody else, because he got into his part so much. You know, Benny used to look at him sometimes and just completely break up at rehearsal. They'd be doing a scene as a floor walker or as a conductor or something. He says, "This guy really hates me," you know. And Benny used to break up because Nelson was so into it and such a fine performer, you know. And there was one scene that we did that was with Jack, and Jack was going to New York. And so Benny says, "Gee, I better get a ticket to New York. I don't have one yet." So he goes over to the... Oh, he says, there's a ticket taker over there. So, of course, he goes over and says, "Oh, mister." And he says, "Yes, are you the ticket taker?" He says, "Well, what do you think I'm in this cage? A canary?" You know. And Benny says, "Well, gee, I just wanted to buy a ticket to New York." He says, "Well," he said... "What are your prices?" And Nelson said, "Well, we have one for $129.95 and one for $79.95. And then Benny said, "Well, I'm not as young as I used to be. I think I better take the $129.95. I'm not as young as I used to be." And then Frank Nelson came back and said, "You're not as young as anybody used to be." You know? Of course, that was a wonderful laugh. You know? He said, "Now cut that." He started to break up. "Now cut that out." He said, "I want to take it to New York." He said, "One way or round trip." And then he says, "One way." And Nelson says, "Good." I mean, those were just fabulous.
Beautiful writing.
Terrific delivery. And that being privy to all of those things was just just wonderful for a 21-year-old.
When you came on the show, did they essentially give you Dennis Day lines, or did they write
they started
special
to.
For
no, they mm-hmm. started to give me lines, naivete, you know, mm-hmm. naive kid, and as time goes on, of course, you get more involved in the show, and you become. But Benny knew that I wasn't going to be there long, and knew that Dennis was coming back. Mm-hmm. Which, as you asked me before, I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
I just was doing the show as part of the team. But it's a funny thing, you know. You just don't think of that you're going to be off the show when you're on the show.
Just getting going.
So that was a thought that I never really had, and. When Jack called me the night before Dennis, or the week before, he said, "Hello, kid." And this is Jack Benny. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah. On my phone, who would know that voice? I said, "Yes, Mr. Benny." He said, "You know, Dennis is coming back, and there's nothing I can do about it, and I'm sorry, but that's the way it is." And I said, "I understand, Mr. Benny. I know that." It took me a while to get used to the fact that I was no longer on the show, especially the first two or three weeks, you know, when you hear Dennis, and which he was a fine gentleman, by the way. And... Dennis was, and
did you meet Dennis?
Oh yeah, I met
before
Dennis.
Or after?
Oh yeah, I met Dennis before, and I met Dennis when he was in uniform. Mm-hmm. And of course, I met him, talked to him. He lived in Silver Lake area, which was a little ways from Beverly Hills. And I used to run into Dennis all the time, mm-hmm. but no, we were friends, you know. I mean, but not buddy buddy, but you're just casual friends. But I never did know Dennis that well. Like I wouldn't like I knew the rest of the cast, you know, like Phil and.
Had you done any acting at all before
the
Benny Show?
Just high school, and I did 2 years at a place called the Turnabout Theater in Los Angeles, which had a group called the Yale Puppeteers. I learned to work puppets in those mm-hmm. days. And then they had a legitimate theater. It was an interesting theater. On one end of this, when you walk into the theater, on one end was the puppet stage. At the other end was a legitimate theater, and they had old streetcar seats that were, you could, they were all reversible. You'd pull on one side, and they reverse. So when you were watching the puppet show, you're back to the legitimate theater, and then you'd have an intermission, you'd get up the puppet show, and you'd just reverse your seats, and you'd be watching the legitimate theater, which was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the legitimate theater, to answer your question. Yeah, I was there for 2 years, and Elsa Lanchester was there as Charles Lawton's wife, and she performed. And it was just a nice little theater, and that was basically the only outside of high school things and plays like that, you know. So that was the only thing that really I had. And then, of course, when I went to Benny Show, they give you a script, and that was, hello? You know, I mean, read it, you know.
Yeah.
So that was the only thing that I had. And then you get the experience of being on the show, and, of course, I rehearsed a lot, you know, when I got on the show, reading scripts and things like that. But you only had the one chance. When you did the show, after we finished the radio show, then Benny would go with his writers into a little studio next door, and they'd discuss the following week's show, and then they'd go home and write it, and then they would write till about Wednesday or Thursday, then they'd get together with Benny, and then we'd all get together. Well, the first time we saw the script was on Saturday morning, and then they'd make revisions maybe then, and then Sunday morning, I'd go in for my band rehearsal for the song that I was going to do that day, and then they'd run over the show again, and then if there was any more revisions, that would be done then, and then showtime, you know, and then we'd go on. So yeah, and that was that experience builds as you get old, as you get older. As you're on, when I went to 22, I was really experienced.
you had a tremendous opportunity to work with the best in the business, the best writers, the best musicians,
exactly,
the best acting.
Yeah, we had, that's right. We had, let's see, Sam Perrin, Milt Josephberg,
George Balzer,
who's still alive.
Yes,
George is still alive, and I said Tackerberry, and those are the four writers, and they were great writers, and you know, it was thrilling. It was thrilling to be able to do that show. Mm-hmm. It just was something that I'll never forget. And then after I left the show, I went on the road, and I went to WBBM in Chicago.
Yes.
And had my show there for about 6 months. It's called the Larry Stevens Show. And I had some sponsors. I've forgotten the sponsors now. I think one was an ale, and when you could advertise Canadian Ace, it was
Canadian
called.
Ace.
Is that still around?
Sure.
Do they call the commercials? They were on the show, and then I had some other people. But anyway,
When was the show on?
1948.
No, I mean
10:15 in the evening to 10:30.
It was a
good time. Yeah. You know, ironically, on a CBS outlet coming from New York was Frank Parker, who was one of the singers on the, who's the first singer on
that's
the
right,
show.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So Frank preceded to me and on the show, not that, you know, and I hadn't met Frank until we did Benny's 40th birthday, which was years later.
No.
But that was,
sure. Come on, get through this.
I bet you didn't have anybody go through this place before when you were sitting here.
No, I know. We've got the best place we could get was supposedly
Hollywood.
Quiet. Yeah. Hollywood Invite.
Or Hollywood Invite.
Or Randolph Street.
Yeah, that's right. We could be in Times Square here.
I know that. We never thought that we picked this spot because it would be quiet.
We got Kyle down the hall.
We got dogs.
That's all right.
We got dogs coming through. Fire marshals, everything. But it's quiet now.
That's
quiet.
Right.
But anyway.
Well, after the WBBM stint, then this was 48.
Yes.
Where did your career
I went back to Hollywood, and then I started working theaters and clubs around Hollywood, and then I went on the road up to Northern California, worked up there, and then in 1952 I had a show on KNXT called the Larry Stevens Show, and I was on there for about almost 8 months. And then things, you know, styles changed, and rock and roll came in, and I wasn't a rock and roll singer. Mm-hmm. So then I sort of just backed off, and I had gotten married, and I had kids to support. Children, excuse me. Kids are goats, aren't they? So I had children to support, and I sort of went into another business. I went into the liquor industry, if you will. But during that time, as there, people found out what I had done, and so I began performing at sales meetings and all that kind of. So I kept my singing up, and God has been good to me. He kept it all these years, and then I just kept doing that. And then about 2 years ago, I was living in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. Some guy came to me and said, "Larry, are you still singing?" And I said, "Yes." He had a big band, and so I said, "Well," he said, "would you mind performing with us as a guest artist?" And I said, "More than happy to." So I had some new, what they call charts, which are musical arrangements. I had those made up. And then I've been doing that, and then my wife, Norma, says, you know, we ought to make a CD. So I just finished a CD with, as a matter of fact, you probably might be able to hear it in the background while we're talking here. And I made 16 songs, some of these like The Very Thought of You, and You're the Cream of My Coffee, The Object
Wonderful.
Of My Affection, and songs that, you know, when I was 10 years old, they were written, so 1933. So anyway... That's what I'm doing. I just had it coming out now.
Well, that's real nice.
Yeah, so I've started over again, you know.
So this is a nice chance for you to meet a lot of people who remember you from the Benny Show and from other areas.
And it's it's very gratifying. You know, I'm very flattered that some of them remember me. I'm glad they're young enough to remember.
Well, we're glad you're still around.
Well,
you said before, there's not many members of the Benny cast.
I think George Balzer is probably the last writer of the.
Yeah, I think so. And
yeah, Sam Perrin just
We lost Sheldon Leonard.
I know, that's right.
That's
right. Yeah. A mystery, you know. That was Yeah, those were great. Just wonderful things. We had Walter Winchell on the show. We had Rita Hayworth on the show. We had Joe Lewis on the show. Fred Allen on the show. And as a matter of fact, we did a show from the Plaza in New York. And that was exciting. We had about 1,000 people. That's when Fred Allen was on the show. And that was 1945 in April. And my wife and I had just gone back to New York 2 years ago. And she had never been into the Plaza. You know, it's beautiful with the carriage lights out front. And just a beautiful old... You walk in and the concierge is there. And then you have the... here's your friend.
Coming through again.
And then we had... and heard this music in the background, and you walk in, there's a beautiful team room, and everybody's very nice and dressed, you know, and then I said, now I got to take you upstairs. So I went up to the ballroom.
What's the matter?
Where we had done the show, you know. And I had Norma, my wife, take a picture of me standing there. And it was very nostalgic. It was very teary because I'm
beautiful.
I stood in front of there, and there's nobody there but me. We did that show from there, you know. Yeah. It was very touching, very teary. And I still have that picture. That was a couple of years ago. But I didn't think I'd be back there again, you know. But my whole world has changed a little bit now. I'm getting interviews and I'm getting offers. and it's kind of exciting. It's a renaissance for me, really.
And, well, that's wonderful.
As I say, God has been good to me and kept my voice. And I think that's the attribute that I have. Is I took care of it and I didn't abuse it. And I never smoked, even though I was on the Lucky Strike show. You know, had all the free cigarettes I wanted, but
did they offer cigarettes free to everybody?
Oh yeah, in those days they did. Yeah, they used to have people on the street handing out cigarettes. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh yeah.
But I always got a carton of cigarettes. I just give them away. Yeah. You know,
Don Wilson told us one time that he smoked Lucky Strike diligently. He said until. The radio show or the TV show ended when the Lucky Strike.
Yeah.
Then he went back to did something else. I don't remember what.
Phil used to smoke Parliaments.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they had the a filter on them. Remember they were had like a cork tip.
Oh yes.
I think they were. I don't remember, but
I heard they made them put those Parliaments into a Lucky Strike pack.
Oh, really?
Because they wouldn't want anybody from the agency.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Smoking Parliament. He used to smoke Parliament. That's funny. I'd forgotten that.
Well,
right.
You were part of one of the most important radio shows in the whole era of the Golden Age.
Exactly.
And, you know,
I know it.
You were up to the task.
Yes.
You did an excellent job.
Thank you. Well, I was thrown right in with them, and I'll tell you, you had to sink or swim in those days, you know, Phil was a big help to me. You know, he said, hey, kid, you're up there singing like you're working at the Onyx Club, he said, you know the way. And I thought that was kind of nice. I just, thanks, Phil. You know, and he was a big supporter.
So you had a song on every show then?
Oh, every song. Right. The only time I didn't have a song was on, the shows would run, the actual dialogue was only about 15 minutes. Because the opening and closing was music and applause and incidental music and laughs and things like that.
Oh, the laughs!
Oh,
took
yeah,
up a lot
the laughs.
Time.
See, the laugh. That's right. And people thought, "Whoa, a half-hour show. It's a half-hour writing," but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to just throw your best shots there for dialogue right then and there. So, and Benny. Oh, I told you that story. Yeah, I started becoming redundant.
Benny's pauses took up enough time on the show.
Yeah, right. Well, we used to open the show. He had a warm-up show, and of course, Phil used to come out and sing. You know, Phil opened up for the audience before the show. Sing That's What I Like About the South. And Phil could lift those people right out of their chairs.
Yeah.
You know, and then, because then Benny would come on. We all had pennies in our hands. And then Benny would come on, and he'd take his violin. Of course, we'd all go, oh, no, you know. So Benny would start to play, you know, da-da-da-da. There's violin bows screeching across the violin. And then Benny was, yeah, I bet you thought I was going to be lousy, didn't you? He'd be playing his violin. So he'd start playing a few more strands. Then we'd all throw pennies on the floor to Benny, see? So Benny, he didn't look down. He'd just keep playing the violin for about 15 seconds. Then he'd say, well, I can't wait any longer. He'd put the violin on Benny and start picking up the pennies, you know.
But that was, and this was for the studio audience.
Yeah, right. So things like that that people never knew, you know. But
and everybody liked Jack Benny.
Yes.
Never have run into anyone who didn't like Jack Benny.
I know. He had quite a varied career from vaudeville up to and into television, the transition, you know. And then, of course, unfortunate. He didn't know he was going to die, you know. He just had this pancreatic cancer, he was gone in 6 weeks.
That was amazing.
Devastating, you know. Because, as you know, he was going to do the Sunshine Boys.
Yes.
With George Burns, you know. And George Burns used to say funny things. He said, Jack and I are the best of friends, he'd say. He said, you know, he doesn't kid me about my singing, and I don't kid him about my violin playing. I mean, I don't kid him about his violin playing, and he doesn't kid me about my voice. So that we remain best of friends.
That's how they do.
Yeah. So that was it. They were very, very close, as you know. And he had very few people he had for dinner. He'd have maybe George Burns and the Cummings. Robert Cummings was a good friend of his. And a few other people. That was about his circle, you know. He was a very private man, but a wonderful man.
Yeah. Well, he certainly knew his business. Yeah. And I think he made a good decision when he asked you to be on it.
Well, thank you. It was a thrill, and it was something that, even at my age now, you never forget. That's why I'm still talking about it, you know. And people want to know about Jack, and I don't blame them, because he was just a wonderful, kind, generous man, you know.
Well, you've been very generous with your time.
Well, thank you. My
Larry
pleasure,
Stevens,
Jack.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you very much for having me again. I appreciate
so
it. See you in Chicago.
Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you, Ellen. Thank you.